First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, please. You know, we've talked about this verse a few times. We talked about it on Sunday, but I'm just using it kind of as a reference point. We're going to be all over the scriptures tonight in dealing with this issue of dangers of online ministries. A warning on virtual church. That's what I call it. It's a warning on virtual church, that there's this mentality out there of a virtual church, and all I need is to listen to things online or watch things online, and that's all that I need in order to be, you know, spiritual or be right with God. And that's just not true. And, you know, I want to read you this verse here, then we'll get right into it here. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us. Guide us, Lord. Teach us what we need to know. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. In the church, it says, in the house of God. So that's a place. That's a meeting house. That's a place. That's the assembly of the saints where they come together. That is the house of God. Proper behavior, like we talked about Sunday, in the house of God. So, you know, God says that his church, that it's the pillar and the ground of the truth, and that God's people need to be a part of those churches. When I say church in that sense, I mean the institution of a local, visible assembly, a New Testament church. Now, we've looked at these verses before, and the Apostle Paul is teaching on that proper behavior in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So then it's an actual meeting place where men and women meet. They are here. They see each other. They look at each other eye to eye. They deal with each other face to face, right? You and I have interactions with one another face to face. We have challenges sometimes. Hey, we have problems sometimes. We have disagreements sometimes. We have arguments sometimes. Amen. We have those things. Those things happen to real people, okay? Things happen. But online you may have some of those in virtual land, but they never get resolved biblically for the most part. They're never going to get resolved biblically for the most part. But that doesn't mean that I stay completely away from anything online and I stop using anything that God has allowed me to use and I leave off those things. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that there's a proper behavior that goes along with me, and I'm supposed to have a proper perspective of what I do online. I'm supposed to understand that online ministries do not replace the Lord's churches. They do not replace us. We don't intend to replace somebody's church out there. When we put sermons online and everything else, we don't intend to replace their church out there. Now, some people are stuck and they have no church. They have nowhere to go. They don't have, and so we provide that for them. We provide a place for them to listen to sermons and to grow and everything else. And that's wonderful. I want to do that. I love helping people out there that need it. I'm not against them tonight. I'm not mad at them tonight. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm trying to explain to them that God's perfect order is for you to be a member of a local New Testament church, a body of believers that are a called out assembly, that are covenanted together, that have covenanted together to serve the Lord and be faithful to God. That's God's commandment, and that's God's desire for his children. He didn't save you to leave you out in the middle of nowhere. Even John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, amen? Right? He didn't stay in the wilderness. He came out of the wilderness, and he preached the gospel, and he assembled with people, and he was around people. That's what God wants. You know, there's too many that want to go hide out in the wilderness today. They get an internet signal, and that's what they want to do. You know, some of you might like it better, too, because then you wouldn't have the accountability, and you wouldn't have somebody looking in your face and preaching the word of God to you and holding you accountable for what you do. Now, the word church means assembly, as we know. We've already taught on that. If you don't understand that, go back and listen to the sermons on there. But we live in a day when the Lord's churches are despised. And that word doesn't mean hated. It means to think very little of. And now I understand why people would think very little of most churches out there today, because having seen what they're teaching, I think very little of many of them also. Amen. I just do. When I see the amount of compromise and the amount of garbage that's a part of those churches, that I'm just shocked by it. I'm shocked by the frivolous waste of time that they are. It's just amazing. Just like I got a flyer about a ladies' meeting here that I wasn't invited, but all of you were invited. All of you ladies were invited to go to this ladies' meeting. And I looked at it, and I honestly believe it's a frivolous waste of time. I absolutely believe it's a frivolous waste of time. It actually leaves all biblical order of what God has laid down for what is right and what is true. And I guarantee, and they're not touching those things. What is it? To make you come together, make you feel good about yourself. Well, listen, lady, your husband ought to make you feel good. Amen. Your husband ought to make you feel like a lady. You ought not need some meeting of a bunch of women to come together. A bunch of bobbed-haired, bossy-wived women. Amen. Hope I didn't shut that off. I better check that. All right, there we go. What's that? Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable to me. And I see this and I see all the accolades of all these women and all this other stuff that they're doing. And I'm laughing at it. I'm like, their guest preacher is some woman. And then the pastor gets up there and he preaches. And I don't know. Whew. Could you imagine if I preached one of my messages up there in front of a room full of those women? They would kill me. And I would love every moment of it. Dying would be sweet to die like that. To watch the veins pop out of their heads and their necks when they did that, and just watch their eyes roll back in their head and then almost explode with anger and charge the pulpit. You take a couple of them. That's right. Anyway, man, would that be something? They'd only have to have one meeting, and that'd be the last one they'd ever have to have. Last one. Promise. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but it was interesting. But understand, I'm not beating people up either out there that don't have a home church to go to. They can't find one, or they're in a place right now where they don't have one, or they're a shut-in, and they're shut-in and they cannot go anywhere. If you cannot physically move or financially, then you have to wait on the Lord until He allows it. I'm not talking about you that are in that. I'm not talking about others that are in other countries that don't have churches to go to. They're out in foreign countries, and we have people listening to us all over the world, and some of these people, they don't have any churches nearby. They don't even have a preacher nearby. We're going to try to do something about that. We want to help them. Amen? So I'll tell you about that at the end of the sermon, but we're going to do something to try to help these folks out if we can. But I'm talking about what really goes on here, this replacement, and really the concentration of this sermon is really on the online ministries themselves and how they conduct themselves and how they handle their affairs and just what they do. That's really what and I'm going to preach another one called Dangers of Social Media. And I'm going to preach that probably Sunday. And I'm going to nail a lot of things in that, too, that are important. And then that'll get the other side of this. It'll be interesting. But I would caution people, though, to always be looking and praying for the Lord to send a church there or for Him to send you somewhere. You know, that would be, if you're out there and you're listening to this, that's the caution. And I'm preaching this for you to understand here, too, that online ministries will never replace a church. An online ministry is a very small aspect of our ministry here. It is an important one, but it's not the main one. This is the main thing right here. The edification of the saints for the work of the ministry, amen? And to glorify God, obviously. That's first and foremost. That's the chief end of man, amen? But it's God's plan for every blood-bought saint of God to be in a local church, serving and edifying and fellowship with the saints, and to covenant together, amen, with them. So I guess, first of all, let me start out with saying danger number one is the forsaking of the assembly. It's the forsaking. That's the one danger of online ministries. They give creeds to people that will forsake the assembly. They kind of fill a void there for some people that they don't even want to look for a church. Why? Because I'll tell you what, because I know a lot of people that'll listen to hard preaching and good preaching and everything else like that, but they won't go into the house of God. Why? Because when you go into the house of God, you got to deal with people like you. That's why. Don't laugh, Ryan. It's true. Right? We got to deal with each other. And it's so much easier to pick up your marbles and go home. That's how easy it is. It's easy to pick up your marbles and just go home and not face anything. If you don't want to live right for God and you get into a local church and you start being accountable to something, you'll run out the door the other way as soon as that accountability comes. But Hebrews chapter 10, turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, what's that? That's in the church. That's where you do that. You provoke one another. Yeah, you know what? There is a good time to provoke. There's a good way to provoke. And this is a way you provoke. This is a good way here. To provoke unto love and to good works. That's what this does in the church. When we all work together, when we work together and we serve the Lord together, we provoke one another. Because sometimes, guess what? If I'm out on my own by myself out there, sometimes I don't feel like witnessing to people. I don't feel like doing, I don't feel like handing out tracts. I don't feel like going out in the open air. I don't feel like being ashamed of my, I don't feel like standing up to my family. I don't want to stand up to my family. I don't want to stand up, but you know what? When I get in the church, what happens? When other people are standing up and standing strong and doing right, we are provoked unto good works. And then you're provoked unto love because you got to love one another. You know what? We can't all dwell in this house together. We can't all serve the Lord together in this house if we don't love one another. You'll leave if you don't love one another. Why? Because you're going to offend each other sometimes. You're going to have problems. Somebody's going to say something to you that offends you. And I'm probably going to be that person a lot of the time. But you know what? Somebody's going to say something to offend you. You're going to rub somebody the wrong way. You're going to say something you shouldn't say. You're going to do something you shouldn't do to somebody else. But the true test is, hey, do I run out and am I done with it? Am I done with everything because once something doesn't go my way? And of course, I'm too good for anybody to say something bad to. Right? So your pride gets the best of you. God forbid that you should be defrauded, right? And suffer it. Right? That's how we are. So I'm too good for that person to offend me. Amen. But he says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? That day of the Lord. That's what I believe it is. That's that approaching day. Do you know what? It's so wicked out there, and you got saints of God thinking, and I'm talking about the ones that can do something about it. They can move. They can't. They'll move across the country for a job, but they won't do it for Jesus. Right. Is your job more important than Jesus? Amen. Or my mom might get mad, or my dad might get mad. Or my family might get mad. Well, they'll have to get mad. Amen. They might get right. They might actually think you believe what you're preaching. Amen. I don't want to make my parents mad. What about making Jesus upset? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? You putting your family before God? You cannot be his disciple. Amen. All right. So, you know, one of the attacks family, like, oh, that church is a cult. Prove it. Come down here, face to face, man to man, or Jezebel to man, and come down here, all right? Come down here and prove it. Yeah. Take the word of God, take the King James Bible, come down here, man to man, like I said, Jezebel to man, come down here and prove it. Right. Otherwise, shut up. Because you look like a fool. That's not very nice. It's not very nice to call one of the Lord's churches a cult. It's not very nice to do that. That's right. So anyway, the first point I would like to make in this, before I really get started, this is just kind of like the warm-up. Oh man, it's already 8 o'clock. You're going to be here for a long time. Is one of the dangers of online ministries is that it's God's will for you to be in a local church, and sometimes you'll use that online ministry so you don't go find one. So you don't go search one out. That's what happens with people. They do that. They use that. And that's why we have to keep that online ministry in balance and understand that we are, and so people understand here, and so you understand we're not trying to replace somebody else's church out there. That's not what we're trying to do. Now, we will minister to people out there because that is a land of evangelism. It's like going out your front door and preaching, right? It's there to do, and we ought to use it. And we've helped many, and some of you are here because of that. Some of you found sound doctrine. You said, okay, I'm going there. I'm going to move there because they believe the Bible. They believe this, so I'm going there. And many people have gotten saved. We've had like 3 people profess salvation here in the last couple weeks that we've heard about. So, amen. One man out in Ohio was a false convert. Listen to this. He was a false convert for 30 years, he said, and he got saved at the end of March. He started listening to the 501c3 stuff, Brother Finney. And then he got into some of the sermons and Sound the Battle Cry. He started listening to Sound the Battle Cry all the way through and finally figured out why he had no victory in his life over sin. Amen. He wasn't saved, and he repented and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we believe in ministering to people on there. We want you to get into churches. We've helped people get into churches. We've helped direct them to churches, and they're serving the Lord in churches now. Amen. But you may have to contact out there, they may have to contact a pastor and say, look, preacher, there are 3 or 4 families or 1 or 2 meeting here and there and listen to your sermons online, and they want to see a church start here. That's what Nate and I are going to be working on in the next couple weeks, or next couple months, actually, you know, working on trying to put these people together and help them. So part of this, me preaching this to you, is also, you know, so people online understand, so you understand, and warning about online ministries, but also that we're not just going to bring a problem to you, we're going to bring the solution. Amen. We want to give you the solution too. You know, God's method for his children is for them to be members of local New Testament churches. Paul was not talking about assembling together on the internet. He was talking about assembling together in churches, called out assemblies, literal, physical, local churches. Amen. When we understand this concept, then we will understand that a lot of dangerous things can happen when we solely look to online ministries or solely have an online ministry like that for everything we spiritually need and not the Lord's churches that is the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why it's a portion of our ministry here. It's not the whole thing. This is a church. Amen? And that is a portion. And I'll tell you what, I've had a lot of people despise that online ministry. Now, they're all gone now. They're all out of here now. Because they despise the Lord's ministries. They didn't like that. They got help through it. They found Old Paths Baptist Church through it. But their pharisaical, hypocritical attitudes couldn't allow them to accept anybody else could do that, could benefit from that. It was a hostile takeover. I know, don't talk about that, preacher. Just be nice to people that stomp on the Lord's churches and no, sorry. I'll leave that for you. I've kind of licked my wounds over the last couple months, and I'm done licking my wounds, and now I'm ready to fire out the gate. See, you need what the church purchased, what Jesus purchased with his own blood, the church. That's what every believer needs. God intended them to be in a local New Testament church. And my heart's desire for people out there is that they would have that. And in this church, there's an importance to preach this. And we never must forget how blessed we are that we have a church here. We never must forget that. And, you know, you can look and I can nitpick things. Believe me, there's like 3 or 4 things that I would love to change right now and things that we need to work on. Amen. But I'm also not gonna become hypercritical and burn everything down because there's some things that aren't perfect. Because if you're a member of it, it won't be perfect. If I'm a member of it, it won't be perfect. Amen. God made a way for us, you know, to have a church here, and we thank God for that. But there are some people out there that listen to this, and I want them to understand that I'm not their enemy, but I want to be a part of the solution. I want them to get into local New Testament churches. Why? Because it's God's way to build them and to mature them in the faith. Don't you ever think that you can walk out that door and go hide out in the country somewhere and go hide out in your house somewhere and have some kind of a house church like some other people are doing right now and think they can go hide out and they're going to be just fine because they're too worried about the apocalypse coming here. They're too worried about the end times coming here. And they are so worried and so scared, so they want to take themselves underground. You bunch of cowards. You bunch of absolute cowards. Are you kidding me? You want to go underground with the gospel when you have liberty to preach it in the open air? You're telling me that you, when you have liberty to stand and to help others and to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, and you're going to go hide somewhere? It's not the time to hide. That'll come someday, I'm sure, in our lifetime. But you know what? Right now isn't the time to hide. And God proved that by placing this meeting house right here, right across from that McDonald's right there. That this isn't the time to hide. It's the time to be bold for the Lord. That's the time it is. And you know what? You'll never mature the way you need to. Trying to replace the church with an online ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 proves that. Go there, please. Ephesians chapter 4 proves that. That's one of the dangers of these online ministries. They don't understand the purpose of the church. They think, well, I'll grow just fine outside of the church. So your job, where you live, maybe your property that you own, whatever you have is more important than being in the Lord's church. Listen, friend, nothing's more important than obeying God. If God's order is for me to be in a church, there isn't a mother, there isn't a father, there isn't a wife, there isn't anything that is more important than me being where God wants me to be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, which is the local New Testament church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Hey, guess what the online ministries are? Guess what they are? I mean, carried about with every wind of... Man, I know some guy, he contacted me. He even came and visited here. That guy contacted me, and I mean, he was first started out, Martin Rich, is that guy, Richling? Yeah. The establishment commandment guy, that guy. He started out with that guy right there, and then he went, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to point at you, brother. It's not him, okay? It's not Brother Nathan. No, it's not him. But anyway, that's right. He's over there. Then he was a Ruckmanite. He was a Ruckmanite, and then he found our sermons and he came and visited and thought about moving for a church. But he liked his job playing on zip cords, and it wasn't worth it to him to be in a local New Testament church to serve God. And where's his doctrine at? Well, now he believes you can lose your salvation. He believes in the universal invisible church. He believes in, I don't know, all kinds of fairy tales. So so here's, you know what happens? Oh, yeah. And then, that's right. He went all the way to Pelagianism. That's right. He did. That's right. He did. Now he believes you can lose your salvation. You work for it and all this other stuff to keep it and everything else. That's right. That's right. That's where it's, you know what? Carried about with every, why? Because 2 years ago, he didn't plant himself right here where he should have. And now he's been everywhere. Yep. And I've seen it time and again. Yep. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men. Start listening to Kerrigan Scully. Some heretic. He's a heretic on, yeah, some unsaved devil out street preaching. You know, any guy can have a shirt made up with bright little fancy scriptures on them and make their shirts all bright and go out and preach. And everybody, no. What do you have against bald guys? Oh, no, you're thinking Reuben Israel, probably. That's another heretic, but that's another story. Anyway, that's what you call an agent provocateur. That's what that guy is. Just that's what that guy is. So anyway, but you have Kerrigan Scully, which is a heretic, and he's out there preaching all that stuff. And all those guys, and that's who he watched. And then, that's where they get their theology. They have no grounding, no basis for anything. And that's why they are carried away. And I'm telling you, if you think that's not possible, there are people that left this church that are probably doing the same thing right now. They are going all over the place. They're following their favorite internet preachers all over the place. And that's what influences them. You better be careful who you listen to, because it influences you. Why don't you follow the fruit? Look and see the fruit of a ministry. Look and see what God does with it. Look and see who God grows in it. Look and see who's being saved, their lives changing, living for God, stable lives, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for those things. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, look at that, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's God's way for you to grow, to be in a local New Testament church. That is God's way to perfect you. And you know what? Sometimes that's not going to feel good, because you're going to look around and you're going to say, well, my brother, he's this way. This brother so-and-so has this problem, and sister so-and-so has this problem, and brother so-and-so. Well, point your finger back in your own face and look in the mirror. You got one too. You got one too. Oh, no, not you, right? Not you. No, you got one too. So before you're ready to destroy people, just remember, you got one too. We all have things that we face. Amen? Doesn't mean we don't need to correct the problems that are there. Just means that we need to have some grace for people. And there is a such thing as growing in grace, people learning. Sometimes we forget that we don't just, pop out saved and sanctified and walking in the faith and perfect, right after we're saved. We forget how long it took us to go through some things and to learn some trials. Amen. But it's God's way to grow you in your most holy faith and perfect you. And of course, God uses his Holy Ghost and the Word of God. But that's God's way, folks. That's one of the dangers of online ministries today, is that people are trying to replace that. They're forsaking the assembly. They're forsaking their own growth. They're opposing their own selves. They see the church as being expendable. The local church is just expendable. Whatever. It's disposable, right? I can have it or not, whatever. It's expendable. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it is a big deal if you study the scriptures. It's a huge deal. All right, number two, danger number two, novices that are taken for experts. Novices that are taken for, man, there's a 17-year-old kid, and you would think he has a PhD in flat earth. I mean, he's got a doctorate in flat earth. That kid will tell you you're not saved if you don't believe flat earth. He's 17 years old, and he's been saved for like 6 months. But I'll tell you what, he set himself up as an authority, and he's like 17 years old. When his mom lets him use the internet, he goes on there, and what he does is he posts everything on flat earth. And seriously, there's people on there. And listen, I know I'm going to make that person mad, but kid, I want what's best for you. I want you to humble yourself and seek some godly leadership, and your mother to be like, would you get off the internet and stop this and grow in the Lord? Take some time to grow. I'm not saying that because I'm mad at you. I'm trying to help you. You're like 6 months old, and then there's silly women laden with sins that are just over the top crazy about it. Your son has so much wisdom. Oh, no. No. He's like 17. He's a kid. He's just a child. He's not a man. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. If my son got on the internet and was talking to full-grown men like that, you'd probably see his head sticking through that computer or something. I'd put him on dial-up. That's torture enough. Okay, anyway. But, and listen, I'm not against the kid. I think he loves the Lord. He has a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. He's a young kid, and he's caught up in this flat earth, and now he's labeling like, well, if you're not flat earth, then you're not saved. I mean, if you don't believe in the flat earth, you're not saved. And it just like, all that, this ridiculous, right? Absolutely ridiculous. Well, it is Herod, but he's a kid. You know what I mean? He's just a child. That's all he is. But yet you have, you know, the Bible has shown that God uses his churches to teach and to edify the saints of God and to perfect them in their most holy faith. Yet you have men that are teaching online today that are not even members of local New Testament churches, yet they're counted as experts. They're not even following God's order, but they're counted as experts today. Unless one of you follows some of these men along that trail and get taken away with, that's why it's important for you to listen to this tonight. Unless you get taken away. Oh, wow, I like what that person's saying. You start following down that road. Oh, that wouldn't happen to you, would it? It can happen to any of us if we stop listening to good, strong biblical advice and teaching. You know, you have to warn about things so people don't fall for them. You know that? You'd be surprised what people will fall for if you don't warn against it. Never assume anything. Never assume that somebody understands something that you're preaching. Never assume that they understand a position or anything else. You can't assume that. You can't assume that they understand it, they get it. You've got to be careful with that. You know why these people are counted? These people, they're not even members of local New Testament churches, but they're counted as experts. Why? Because they can make a pretty video with graphics. So they're automatically experts on Bible doctrine. Whoa, that's a nice chart. That video with the Pope hat? With me and the Pope hat? Yeah. That was pretty convincing. Hey, I believed it. You know, some of these men have means to move and to be members of churches to find a biblical one, but they will not. Why? Because they're novices and they don't want to. They're a bunch of novices that don't want to. They are supposed experts in one area, and they try to teach others in every area of doctrine. And too many people are following around these men that are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and they are not stable at all. What does it say? It says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He didn't say he gave some YouTube experts that can expose Illuminati blood sacrifices. Everything's a blood sacrifice. Peter Pan will die, and it'll be a blood sacrifice. It's Illuminati. It's Illuminati blood sacrifice. That's what it is. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, right? That's what it's for. That's what teachers, that's where they come from. A man that is not a member of a church and just does what he wants to do, that's what we see out there. They're teaching spurious doctrines sprinkled with worldliness and an anxiety attack away from an insane asylum. I mean, I've watched them. They're like, they post videos about blood sacrifice, Illuminati, all this stuff, and then they're like, oh, I'm having a hard time right now coping. Well, what are you making videos for? Get off the internet. Because they're making like $7,000 to $10,000 a month doing it. That's why. Yeah, $7,000 to $10,000 a month making YouTube videos, setting themselves up as authority, saying the flames of hell are not real. But you need to worry about the Illuminati blood. Well, what do you need to worry about that for? That's not too vigilant and it's not too Christian. Right? Well, it isn't, is it? Right, you don't even, well, who cares about the Illuminati if there's no hell? You're not going to burn an everlasting, yeah, the everlasting. If you don't even have the first principles down, the judgment, right? If you don't even understand that, get up, what are you teaching on YouTube for? Well, I'm not a pastor. I know you're not. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, I'm not a pastor. I just discuss the Bible online. No, you're teaching people things and setting yourself up as an authority and making a whole lot of money doing it. It's dangerous, folks. It's absolutely dangerous. Some of you say, well, I don't go online, so it doesn't matter to me. Yeah, but your friends and your family and other people do. And you can stick your head in the sand all you want to, but that online's not going away. It's not going away. Too many Baptist churches have ignored it out there and not done anything. They've not went on there and put things on there and a strong presence on there, so the devil's filling it up. And all these novices are coming on there, filling it up. Well, it's not my problem. I know, there's a lot of people that think like that. I know. I would, you know, I don't have that in me where I can't just think, well, I don't care if they go to hell. I don't care if they're deceived. I'll just worry about the people standing right in front of me. God not only provided that avenue to preach and to help people with, but I'll just ignore it. It doesn't matter. I'll let the devil have it. I'm not letting him have it. Just like I'm not letting him have this town. We didn't leave this town. I'm not leaving that internet either. I'm not going to leave it until I have to. Because I'm not going to surrender that ground to the devil. He didn't give, you know, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So you have these guys out there, and they're making like a ton of money, exposing Illuminati, but teaching all kinds of heretical doctrines. Worldly guys like Mark Dice, who hang out with Alex Jones when their bromance is on. When their bromance is off, they don't hang out with each other. They don't talk to each other. They're mad at each other, and they do these publicity stunts where they actually like hate each other. Then all of a sudden, he goes back onto Alex Jones, and he's doing that. Well, you say, come on, what's that? What's the big deal about that? Why you got to talk about that? Because you know how many Christians listen to Alex Jones? Do you have any idea how many Christians actually listen to Alex Jones all the time? And not only listen to him, but completely lap it up everything that he says. And Mark Dice, who makes himself, who's like a pseudo-Christian that gets on there and he's like a fake Christian, right? And he gets on there and acts like he's a Christian, right? But Christians follow these guys. Then when they're confronted, they say, well, I'm not a pastor, so I don't claim to be. So guess what? What they think in their mind is, well, you don't have to. Do you know that anybody can get a video camera? Anybody can get a webcam, and anybody can get an internet connection as long as it's not dial-up, and they can get that internet connection, and you know what they can do with it? They can go online, and they can set themselves up as an authority and start teaching, and nobody checks out, like, well, who are these people? Like, where do they come from? What do they believe? I mean, what are their doctrines? People just start watching their videos. They just watch them, and then they follow them. So guess what? They don't have to meet the qualifications of a bishop. They can be a novice and get on there and teach anything. And YouTube will make them famous, and they don't have to be qualified to do anything. Anyone with a webcam and video ability and equipment and some knowledge, bam, you're an expert. Yep. They don't have to be well-rounded in all things in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. A lot of these guys have a lot of knowledge, and they're puffed up young novices, and they don't have any wisdom at all. And they just have a bunch of facts that they try to spit out, but they don't have to deal with people on a daily basis, which we'll get to. They think more highly of themselves than they ought to, and they're leading many men astray, and silly women laden with sins are following them also. It's unbelievable. But that's another sermon for another day. We'll talk about that Sunday. But you be aware of those novices online that want to teach Bible and who have no experience. They have no experience with the Word of God. Most of them don't. They have no experience. No one's vetted them, which we're going to get to. Danger number three is limited spiritual diet and not a church. They give you a limited spiritual diet. They only feed you like certain things. So people fill up their time watching videos about the Illuminati. Now that's great if you want. There's nothing wrong with studying and nothing wrong with learning about those things. And I think it's important to. But when you fill your diet up with that stuff, spiritual diet up all the time, when you're not reading your Bible, when you're not praying, when you're not studying scripture and pounding out doctrine and everything else, when you're not doing those things, that's dangerous, friend, when you spend your time on those secondary issues. It's very dangerous. In a church, you'll learn Bible doctrine, or you should be. You learn the whole counsel of God. In a few churches, that's right. Acts chapter 20, verse number 27. They get a limited spiritual diet. They feast off of these things that, yeah, they're great. I mean, for, you know, the wow effect and everything. But are they growing in the Lord? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Listen, you can't grow off of all sweets or things that just interest you or things that are neat or things that you like. You can't grow off all those things, off just those things. Today we even have pastors in churches that are not teaching sound doctrine. But online is much worse. These online ministries today, many of them are not even teaching and preaching the whole counsel of God. They're preaching on false teachers and conspiracies and Masons and Jesuits, and that's great and that's needed and necessary, and I do it myself. But we also need sermons on holiness and righteousness and sanctification and separation. It's great that you know all about the Masons and all about the Jesuits and all about the occult and those kind of things, and you understand some of those issues so you can help some of those people. But you know what? If you're not using it for the edifying, if you're not growing in doctrine, in sound doctrine. You know why some of these people like those ministries out there? Because they don't ever preach on their sin. Right. They're always exposing the devil's sins. I try to make sure I don't go very long without exposing the sins of the body in sermons, that you understand and I understand what our responsibilities are, that we preach against the sins in the body, that we preach against, because judgment must begin at the house of God. But there are a lot of ministries out there today that are not doing that. That's not happening today. And these online ministries are just a bunch of wow effects. Why? I can tell a lot of times when I see sermons on doctrine, when I preach sermons on holiness, and I see the amount of numbers and the different things, I go there. And there are people that listen to them, and I thank God for them, and that's grown a lot over since we started posting sermons and everything. But I noticed that a lot of people are interested in other things than sound doctrine. And you better be careful with your spiritual life that you're not just eating and feasting on those things and not on the things of God, not on the sound doctrine that is necessary. And then there's those online ministries. Many of them are busy reproving everyone else or trying to take the place of churches and begging for money, that someone would send them so they can keep the lights on and the electricity on to make videos. Keep the dial-up going. Right? So there, man, I had somebody contact me. They said, we don't know how to donate to your church. Could you put something on your website so we could figure out how to donate and give, because it's not on there. And I didn't know it wasn't on there, but that shows you how much I pay attention to that. But it's not. So I contacted Neely, said he was going to put something on there for people, because they ask, and it's like, well, we don't know how to do this. We can't figure this out. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, anyway, but the point is, why? Because we trust God. We trust the Lord. God provides. God takes care. I don't have to send out something and beg people. It costs money to keep the electric on. Well, I think people usually know that. Maybe you're not a church, so they don't want to help you. Maybe you're trying to replace the church and God doesn't want to help you. Maybe you're kind of fluttering out and you're done. Maybe you despising the Lord's churches and mocking his messengers and his preachers, maybe God's had enough of you. Maybe God's done using you for that until you repent and get right and get into a church and serve the Lord and be faithful to God. You see why this is important? Because it's not the Lord's way. God takes care of his churches. They have the promise of care for them. Do we have needs? Yeah. Do we beg people for money? Nope. We pray and ask God to give it to us. We ask others to pray for us, and the Lord provides for his church. These people have ministries that are theirs and not God's. This church is not mine. This church is the Lord's. It belongs to God. And he proves that all the time by his care for his church. The day that it becomes my church is the day that it's not taken care of any longer. The day that it becomes yours, like you own it as property, is the day that God no longer takes care of it. The day we stop recognizing him as the sovereign. I had all kinds of people tell me all kinds of things when we decided not to go 501c3, when we rejected that teaching and everything else. They had, man, these churches, they had it all figured out. The pastors, they had salaries, they had all these other things. They had everything, they had all their ducks around, everything like this. And, man, I don't know if we're going to make it like that. Because we didn't do any of those things. None of it was conventional. None of it was according to common teaching. We wouldn't have made it if we did it that way. No, we wouldn't have. Absolutely. Anyway, these people will tell you about cults and about Masons and about false teachers and other things, but they are not a church. That cannot replace the pulpit ministry of a church, nor the perfecting of the saints. You got Brian Denlinger on there, right? That's not a pastor of a local New Testament church. That's a guy out in the woods with a really creepy wife that does really creepy, weird videos. I'm sorry, he put his wife on video. Now he's going to be mad at me. Somebody's going to send this to him. Sister Catherine, the Jesuit coadjutor. But it is. There's going to be a video about me now. There was already one about the rapture. Answering Jason Cooley on the rapture. But he never answered me, really. But anyway. But now there's going to be another video about how I was mean. I'm not being mean to you. I don't think you have the proper authority, and your wife shouldn't be teaching. She should be baking cookies. Amen. Who gave your wife any authority to teach? You don't have the right to give your wife authority to teach. Who do you think you are? You get to change God's order? No, that's what Satan does. To get right with God and get into a local New Testament church and get under some authority. And get rid of your stinking rotten Ruckmanism. That's what the problem is anyway. Amen. All right, I'm done with that now. That'll cause enough of a stir. As soon as somebody weeds through that, figures it out, posts it, sends it over to him, the next video comes up and he's exposing me now. I know, but anyway. But you know what? Pastors have to deal with hard things. The guy that's sitting on the internet, he doesn't have to deal with anything. Maybe his wife. Because she pays all the bills. I don't know. Danger number four. No authority and no accountability, no order. These online ministries, no authority, no accountability, no order. When you look in this Bible and you see what God says about his local New Testament church, the qualifications that are needed there, the ordination, the ordinances, and everything else, then you see that God has a proper order. And anything outside of that order is what? Not scriptural. Not in proper order. God has an accountability and an order set up in his house, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. He has qualifications that are set up in his church. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. He has qualifications for pastors and teachers and those bishops and elders that are in the church. I am, but I'm not going to teach on this directly. I'm going to teach on that. This will be a separate lesson on the office of a bishop. But I'm going to read quickly through the qualifications because I think it matters, because you have all these people that set themselves up as authorities online, and guess what? Who's ever examined them? Who's laid hands on them? Who's ordained them? By what authority do they do what they do? You say, well, they asked John the Baptist or Jesus Christ the same thing. Yeah, but Jesus had authority. Right? That's right. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Does that mean that it says one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity? Talks about the order of a bishop and what's right. I suppose that means that he's to be the head of the house, right? He's to be the head of his own house. That means he's the provider for his own house. But then again, if you just have a YouTube internet ministry, then you don't have to follow that. You can just do whatever you want. And if somebody has a problem with it, they'll make a video. You'll make a video against them. Well, go ahead. Do it. Amen. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. You see, there are qualifications for those who wish to teach and lead a flock. And if they are not bishops which teach in the assembly or to others, or others that teach in the assembly, they are under church authority and under proper authority. Some of you preach here, but you preach under that direction and authority of a bishop that is watching and an overseer that is watching you, that is guiding and teaching you. Because that's the way that God intended it to be. Not for you just to do whatever you want to do and no qualifications and nobody examine you and you just do what you want and it's okay. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1 says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He is instructing him in the pastoral epistles to train others also. There is an order in the house of God. There is order. There's no order in an online ministry that just does what they want to do. There's no order there. None whatsoever. There is no order in online internet land. Any man with a pick and a camera can teach and preach whatever they want with no accountability. If they're wrong, nothing will happen. Hebrews 13:7, turn there. By the way, I heard one of these living room preachers mock this the other day. By the way, I say living room preachers. I don't mean that you can't start a church in a living room, because you can start a church anywhere with proper authority. When you're ordained and sent out, amen? Doesn't matter where you meet, you can meet anywhere. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's when you set yourself up as an authority and you just go and say, well, I'm a pastor. Really? Well, who laid hands on you? Who examined you for the qualifications of a bishop? Who did any of those things? Who ordained you and sent you out? So then they mock these verses in a mocking tone. Remember them, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, verse number 17, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. You know, there's a lot of people that hate that today. They hate it and despise it. It's counted very little to them. They don't want anybody to have the rule over them. They don't want to submit themselves, and they don't want anybody to watch for their souls, because they know what's best, and they know what's best, and they'll sit in their living room, and that's what they'll do. That's what many people want to do. That's what most of them desire to do. By the way, that's not new. God said in the end times, this is how it would be, that people would not accept biblical rule. They would not accept sound doctrine. They would run from it. They would set up themselves teachers having itching ears, right? Yeah, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they'd be attracted to those things. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. It says it's unprofitable for you. Not for the leader. For you. If you grieve, if you make it a grievous task, if you make an overseer, overseeing, if you make that a grievous task, put them through grief and heartache and pain, which, by the way, happens when you pastor a lot. A lot. And if you don't want it, then don't answer the call. Better get that desire of a bishop out of your heart then. Amen? Because it comes along with a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. It just does. And you got to love people and you can't be bitter. Obey them that have the rule over you. It says, who watches for their souls? Those people out there in YouTube land, those online ministries in YouTube, who's watching for their souls? What overseer is watching for their souls as they set themselves up as leaders? Who's watching for their soul? Think about it. Who is holding them accountable? Who can discipline them if they teach wrong before they lead millions astray into false doctrine and heresy? God laid down discipline and order in the assembly, a system of checks and balances. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at this here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 2. But in online ministry, it's not there. It's not there at all. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies. That's Hebrew, that's the Hebrew roots, guys. That's the black Hebrew Israelites, guys, right there. That's who that is. Okay? Don't give any heed to fables and endless genealogies. Walk away from them. Turn your back on them. That's all it is it's definitely fables. Definitely fables. But fits right in there with the endless genealogies as well. Which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I'm going to talk about that sometime. Fake faith. Yeah. That's what faith unfeigned. Fake faith. How could he charge them, by the way? How did Timothy have the authority to charge them? Because he had authority. Timothy was under the Apostle Paul. He had qualified. And then after the churches had order concerning doctrine, following the teaching that the Apostle Paul had laid down, that was the next step. But Timothy was to ordain elders, and Titus was ordaining elders in every city, right? Why? Because there's an order to God's ministry. It's not just some miscellaneous every wind of doctrine everywhere, no authority, no order, no discipline, nothing like that. That's not ministry. Ministry is done according to Scripture. It's not ministry at all. It's done according to God's order and God's way of doing things. Most online ministries have no checks and balances. They just do what they want. If they don't like something, they make a video about it and try to ruin someone. These ministries, for the most part, have no authority to exist outside of his churches and no authority to teach. None. Hey, I understand some can't find a church, and I sympathize with them, but how can you teach people the Bible? How can you do this online? Teach people the Bible and point out all the errors of churches out there, but completely skip the duty and need to be a member of a local New Testament church in proper biblical order. How can you do that? And how can anybody take you seriously when you do? How do you get around the New Testament, which is written to his church? How do you get around that and set yourself up on an online ministry as some kind of an authority when you don't even believe the book you're preaching? You're not even part of God's order and God's direction and his pattern and the church of the living God, the pillar. Oh, I know how. You say you're part of the universal, invisible, mystical church. That's how. You mean one that has no offices? One that has no bishops, no overseers? One that doesn't assemble? And no accountability? No leadership? I'll tell you why, because it's more comfortable to stay at home, that's why. How do you teach this Bible and ignore the church? How do you do that? How can you possibly read this book, this Holy King James Bible? How can you read this and skip over the need to be in church? I don't understand how you could do that. Deception, that's right, or you're doing it on purpose. Rebellion, that's right. That's right. We've not evolved past the Lord's churches, and God has chose to no longer use his churches, and he set down the order of, and that God's ready to use some other entity besides his church. No, God's finished with his churches. He's going to use other entities. He's going to use the online ministry, some guy behind a YouTube camera making videos about the Illuminati blood sacrifices every 5 minutes. I mean, talk about sensationalism. I mean, over and over and over again, seriously, man, every time a star dies, it's like, oh, it was Illuminati blood sacrifice. Well, obviously. Yeah, I'd say. How can you do that, though? How can you even think that? Hey, you know what? Whitfield in the Great Awakening, he tried it. But the Great Awakening would have failed if it wasn't for men like Schubel Stearns. who, when he prayed, George Whitefield prayed, he said, God, send a John the Baptist out of the wilderness to come here and to preach. And what happened? God sent a Shubal Stearns that got saved in his meeting right there. Whitefield had little fruit at that meeting, and he was discouraged because nobody came. But one man, a few men got saved, and one of those was Shubal Stearns, and he got saved. And what happened? He got baptized by a Baptist. He got ordained, and he got sent out, and he started churches there. And eventually, over the course of 100 years, 1,000 churches were planted. It was the mother and the great-grandmother and the grandmother and great-grandmother of many churches. That's why you even have a Bible Beltway. That's why you even have one today. Yeah, that's right, Sandy Creek. But you'll never see a true revival without church planting. You won't see it. There's two things that have to happen. Open-air preaching, a lot of prayer, open-air preaching, fasting, and you know what? You need church planting. You've got to plant churches. There's got to be a place, an assembly for these people to go to once they are gathered together. Once they have been saved, there is a purpose for perfecting them, and it's not online. It's a local New Testament church. Because that's God's order. That's God's plan. Not just men teaching on their own and doing what they want to do. This, again, is the danger of that universal invisible church. You can go back and listen to that sermon. No accountability and no authority. What happens when somebody... Listen, in the church, there's proper discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to go there again tonight because you've heard it many times I've preached on. But you know what? It teaches that, you know what, the fornicator... How can you cast out the fornicator online? How can you deal with any of those people? You can't really. You got guys like Martin Richling and those guys out there teaching just false establishment commandments, false doctrine that is just completely heretical, teaching seven different gospels and all this other stuff, teaching all these commandments that are for men, right? Commandments of men, right? Teaching against the deity of Christ. Yeah, no kidding. God chose the laying on of hands and to send out and to ordain to do his work. We'll talk about that in another sermon coming up, though. But you know what? A desire does not mean you're qualified. There's a lot of men out there that have a desire. I mean, Nate told me when he first met me, he said, well, yeah, he was going to go try to start a church. Right? He's just going to try to start one. Seems right. Seems right to do. I think I'll just start one. Amen. So he thought. Was that right? No. That's why he's here. Because it wasn't right. Right. Exactly. But nobody knows doctrine anymore, so they don't know the importance of the church. Amen? They don't know the importance of the church. Why? Because you have a lot of online ministries replacing that, trying to replace that, and attempting to. No, who examined you? That's what you asked them. Who examined you? No one to examine most of those people. They're self-appointed and out of order. No authority, no examination, and most of the time, no real power. No real power. And no strong fruit from it. It becomes chaos and no order is what it becomes. Who's in charge or who are you submitting yourself to in the fear of the Lord? God laid down that proper order and discipline. It's not Nicolaitan. It's Bible. It's not being a Nicolaitan. It's not a Nicolaitan order. It's not what it is. What is it? It's Bible. It's just straight Bible from the New Testament. Because God has his order. Danger number 5, no real time fellowship in dealing with others. This is another danger of these online ministries. They avoid dealing with other people. The rules in Scripture for separation and fellowship and learning to function with my brethren are for everyday interactions in the church. Why? Because it's hard to deal with people sometimes. Amen. Some of you that are in business, you know full well that if you're dealing with people on a daily basis, it's tough to deal with people sometimes. Right? Well, when you're not in business and you're pastoring and you try and you have to deal with people all the time, it's not easy either. Because you've got the Holy Ghost that's brought in all these different people with different personalities and different attitudes and different, and everything is different about them. And the Holy Ghost kind of pushes them all together and compacts them all together. And then you couple in a little bit of pride sometimes and how we think of more highly of ourselves than we ought to, forgetting to look at our own flaws and looking first at the flaws of others, right? It happens, doesn't it? Not to you, right? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that, would you? No. Of course you do. And then God humbles you. And if you stick around long enough, God will humble you in front of everybody. So you're not high-minded. Amen? You're fitly joined, compacted. And some of you know, as soon as you came here, the dynamic changed. You know, when you're having church in your living room or you're watching Old Paths Baptist Church online, boy, that's different. You're listening to it, it's different. You get in here and you find out, hey, there's other people that just got saved and are trying to learn to live for God, and they're not perfect either. Yep. And there's some old people that have been saved for a long time, and they ain't perfect either, right, Brother Finney? I would pick on my dad, but I got a home with him tonight, so I better be careful. But you know what? Then you start to realize it's different. I can't just cut people off like I can online. I just can't ignore it. I've got to deal with real situations in a body and deal with real brethren. And sometimes we offend each other. And sometimes we overlook each other. And sometimes we're not kind to each other. And sometimes ladies talk way too much and more than they should. And sometimes they say things they shouldn't say. Right? And then you have to determine, well, how am I going to deal with this? I can pick up my marbles and go home. I can lick my wounds. I can pray about it. I can try to deal with it. I can try to confront it. Right? Amen? But it's different. It's different than being online. You know, I always get a kick out of these people that are hypercritical. They're usually home and alone, and nobody really likes them. That's usually who they are. I'm just telling you, that's usually a lot of those people that are hypercritical that look at something and just want to just find every single little thing they can wrong with somebody. They're hypercritical. And they sit at home and they watch these videos or listen to these sermons and they're like, bah, 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 bah. They're just barking at everything. And the only reason why they are listening, they're listening because they want to find something wrong so they can take it to their family member that goes to church here and they can say something bad about it. You know, that's what they do. And all I'm asking them is, could you please come to me and say it? Why can't you just come to me and say it? Come here and say it. You know what we do? Yeah, you know what we do when we have a problem here? We go sit down and talk about it. That's what we do. Or if you don't want to talk about it, you pick up your marbles and you go home and you run away when you don't want to get right with God. Amen. But we talk about it. We work it out. We deal with it. Amen. Biblically. That's what we do. But you know what? When you're in YouTube land, in the virtual church, because it's not a church, but in the virtual church, you can just be hypercritical against your brother. See, you can't do that when you dwell with people every day. You won't last very long. You won't last very long in a church if you're hypercritical. You'll get up and leave. Why? Because nobody's as good as you, silly. That's why. And you'll go home where you can look in the mirror and everybody in there is as good as you. Right? Right? You're the most perfect person. So you'll just look at yourself in the mirror and you'll be like, hey, I'm fine. That's what you could do in virtual church online. You don't have to deal with your brethren and sister. You don't have to risk the chance of getting hurt. You don't have to risk the chance of being offended. You don't have to risk the chance of offending somebody else. You can go home, you can sit there, and you can control everything and have all the control over everything and not have to risk anything. Yeah, safe space, that's right. It's not as easy in the house of God just to block someone and just ignore a problem. Yeah, you can't just like be like, you know, you're blocked. What's really embarrassing is when Joshua blocked all of us. Then he had to come to church. That was embarrassing. I'm just kidding. He didn't. He just exited off Facebook, but It was. Actually, I didn't think it was, but anyway. But I enjoyed making you sweat a little bit. But could you imagine if you walked around with like a block on and you just blocked everybody at church? If like you had this way to block everybody, you walked in the door, it was like, vroom, and you just walked past everybody. It's like, so like, let's say Luke was talking to Brother Lee, but I blocked Luke. So all I could see was Lee talking to somebody that I didn't know. That's what it's like on Facebook, right? Could you imagine that if that was like that in real life, if we just walked around like that? Like, who is he talking to? I don't know who he's talking to. I must have blocked that person. Is he talking about me? And you're seeing Lee doing all this crazy stuff with his hands, talking with his hands and everything to Luke, but you can't see Luke. See, that's not practical, right? You can do that in YouTube land and in Facebook and online, but you can't do that in real life. You can't do that in a real church. You have real problems and real people need to deal with real things. It's like I get a kick out of all these hypercritical people out there that they got their church set up. They've made their own church. They've created it and call themselves a pastor and everything. And then they shooting over at this church and looking at us and trying to be. It's like, have they ever pastored anybody before? Like, do they know how to deal with people at all, period? It's amazing to me. Online ministries that say they are an online church cannot obey Scripture and have the same care one for another. I've seen this where there's like these online church groups and people get hurt. What is turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 25. It's impossible to have a virtual church anyway, okay? It's not possible. It isn't possible to have a virtual church. Right, churches assemble, that's right. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Well, how do you do that in a virtual church? And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, and one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. This cannot be fulfilled in an online ministry. It's impossible. It cannot be. Yeah, I answer emails and phone calls, and I try to help as many people as I can out there. But that's not a church online. And yeah, we tell people keep listening and growing and praying and searching for a church and we'll try to help you. But proper dealing with people in the body will not happen online because it's not an online. There's no such thing as an online church. No pastor can keep up with an online church and give the same care one for another. I've seen these pastors try. They have their church online and all these people start fighting and arguing online. Well, if you all did that in this room, well, you wouldn't do it very long. But there, you could do it, and they're all fighting and arguing and sniping at each other and being mean to each other and everything else and, like, taking advantage of each other. And all this stuff is going on. Meanwhile, this pastor is acting like this is his online church. And many people get hurt and fall through the cracks, and there's problems and there's troubles, and wrongs don't get righted. I remember I sat with a pastor like that. I sat with a pastor that does that. And I talked to him. I remember him telling me a story about two people, and he was talking about that. He said, well, so-and-so had a problem. And I said, you profess to be members of our church. And I was like, wait a minute. They're not. You didn't baptize them scripturally into that body or anything like that. They're not members of your church. All you saw about is their online church, right? Their online church. Well, how can you discipline people online? You can't do that. That's ridiculous. But there was a real problem that came up. Real bad stuff happened. Wicked stuff. That was going on and things like that. And how you can't possibly deal with that. That's why I don't have anything like that on there. I have an old past page and I have a public page and I have my private one that's on there, but I don't have any groups that are started to try to have all these people meet up. I don't do that. Why? Because it's a problem. You can't police that stuff. You can't have the oversight of that. I would be stuck to that computer all day long trying to do that. It's impossible. Doesn't work. By the way, you need the fellowship of the brethren. You need interaction with brethren. There's no real-time fellowship with an online ministry. You need to be with brethren praying with them. You need to be with brethren preaching with them, going out. And ladies need to be with other ladies that encourage them, that are showing them a proper walk with the Lord, that what it means to be a God-fearing wife and a submissive wife and everything else. You need that. You don't get that online in online ministry. That's not possible. You can't train somebody like that in that type of a setting. That's why Nate and I and others are going. You know, that's why we are going out, you know, and trying to help these people and train them and teach them, like Brother Jim down in Texas and people like that. We want to help them start churches. And they're going to be coming up here. They're going to be visiting here and coming back and forth. And we're going to be going there and helping them as well. So that's why we're doing that. You can't hide things and do things like that and be an internet warrior. You know, you can't treat people like that in a real church. Danger number six, you treat everyone like heretics for errors and mistakes. Everybody's burned down as a heretic because they have a disagreement with you about something. Oh, you believe in local church only? You must be a brighter and you're a heretic. You're just a brighter and a heretic. These internet warriors and their online churches treat everyone they perceive to have an error like they are, just like they're heretics. If they are wrong about anything, then you must be completely marked and avoided, and their ministries are worthless and unfruitful. Yeah, I was just going to get to that, the rapture, that's right. The rapture's, oh, you're pre-trib or post-trib? Oh, I couldn't go to that church or be a part of anybody that's like that. Why? Why? Because you have a difference on the timing of the rapture, whether it's pre-trib or post-trib? Seriously, you couldn't go to a church like that? You have to mark them as a heretic because they believe they're still premillennial, right? They're still premillennial and they believe in a literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. That's not a heretic. That's a difference of opinion. That's a difference of understanding. That's all that is. And I know that it's done on both sides. But I've seen a lot of pre-trib guys go after post-trib guys and go nuts about it. I mean rabid over it. Absolutely rabid. I've had people mark me for that rabid when I came out. And I don't treat them like that. In fact, the first sermon I ever preached on it was the proper attitude to have when preaching about that. Because I never heard anybody even talk about that before, that you're separating good brethren and good churches over a disagreement of the timing of the rapture. That neither one of you are 100% right, 100% that you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're absolutely 100% right of that timing is going to be. Now, I don't see how you see a pre-trib rapture. I'm sorry. I used to believe that because I didn't study it. But after I studied it, I don't see how you could believe it because it's just not clear. Or it just doesn't teach that. I just don't see that. But there's people like, oh, you should separate over that. You should not have anything to do with people that are pre-trib. And they treat pre-trib brother and post-trib, they do it to each other. It's ridiculous. That's not a heresy issue. It's not heretical to be wrong on the thing. And it's not something that you say, well, I couldn't ordain somebody over. Really? Really? Difference in timing of the rapture? I mean, if you were an amillennialist and you didn't believe in the coming of the Lord, the literal coming. Yeah, that's a little bit different, right? Never mind if most of what they teach those is spot on or that church is. There was one guy treated the pastor at Morningstar Baptist Church here that Brother Jacob came from, treated him like, I mean, he was calling him a heretic, saying he was telling people they need to take the mark. Remember that video? Totally just misrepresented that. And I said, hey, I disagree with Pastor Farrell on the rapture, okay? I disagree with him on this. But you know what? You're lying about that guy. He's not a heretic, and that's not what he was saying in that video. He twisted a joke that he had made. Or he misspoke something, and everybody laughed about it because they knew he misspoke about it. Yeah, and this guy turned it into like, well, that guy's a heretic. He's not a heretic. By the way, did you know you can be wrong about something and not be a heretic? There's a difference in damnable heresies and being wrong. There's a difference in false doctrine and damnable heresies. There's a big difference in there. By the way, we'll talk about that in the Bible doctrine classes that I'm going to teach here for you men. But we'll go over some of those. We're going to have a men's meeting probably once a month, and I'm going to teach one doctrine to the men through that. And we're going to have some courses, some direct teachings on the doctrines of the church and the doctrines in the Bible, and just have a statement for each doctrine. Because it's important that men know sound doctrine, especially the men that are going to be trained to be here. So our men's meetings are going to be full of teaching and training. You know, but I've had people, you reference the Book of Enoch in a teaching as a historical reference, like a fairy tale book that talks about giants. Well, you're a heretic then. Yeah, I got blasted all over the line by this one guy for that, which used to be this, now he's this, and he's going, I mean, that's just the way they go. Oh, they're heretics. You have to mark and avoid their ministry. Or the difference is, he believes the sons of God and daughters of men were fallen angels. Well, they're heretics. I'm going to mark them and avoid them. Right? Yeah. Right? Or the other way, if you don't believe it, then I got to mark you too. Right. Or I'm going to fall. Listen, if you don't believe it, that's your problem. Right. I believe you're wrong. Or those churches teach tithing. Well, mark and avoid them. They just want to get rich and extort people. So they need to be marked and avoided. I'm serious. I've seen it. Churches, I don't teach the law of tithing here. I don't teach it here. I'm not. God provides for his church. He takes care of it. I don't believe that that was given to us for that purpose, to us. I believe it was given to the Jews, and in more ways than one way of tithing. But the point is that I believe in New Testament giving. Amen? If you don't want to give, you've got a problem with your heart. I'm not going to try to threaten you with 10%. You don't want to give, it's your problem. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with you giving 10%. If you believe that's what the Lord wants you to do, then do it. Amen. If a tithe was important enough for the Jews to give, hey, we're free. Amen. We ought to have the heart to give as much as the Lord wants us to. Amen. Whatever that is. Amen. Amen. A cheerful giver. That's right. But I don't think those churches are trying to get... I know these pastors that preach tithing. None of them are rich. The ones I know, okay? The ones I know aren't rich. They're not making a boatload of money and getting rich off everybody. Every guy that ever taught tithing to me, which I disagree with, is not rich. I've been in their homes. I've been to their houses. I've ridden in their cars. I've been around. They are not wealthy men. And they're not trying to be either. They believe that's right. I think they're wrong. In fact, I know they're wrong. But you know what? I'm not gonna burn down their ministry because of that and be like, that's it. They're heretics because of this. You know what? That would mean that I probably loved money a little too much. I think that's sometimes a problem. There are some people that preach so vehemently against tithing and giving so much. I think there's a problem there. And I think one of the problems might be that you're a little bit stingy with that money, and that might be the problem. You might be worried that there might be an element of truth to that, and you don't want to give. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, I've seen it before. Not here. I haven't seen that problem here. But what I'm telling you is I've seen it with people online. I've watched them where they have this whole ministry, this whole Facebook page exposing preachers that preach tithing. Seriously, get a job. Like, what do you do this for? It's like, really? I mean, like, every one of them is like Creflo Dollar or something. That's what they treat everybody like. All these preachers are like Creflo Dollar. No, they're not. Have you ever seen these preachers' houses? They ain't getting rich. You're not talking about Kenneth Copeland here. That's about me. Yeah, I'm coming out of the flames for tithe. Yeah, because I said, I guess one sermon I talked about tithes and offerings or something. I mentioned it. Yeah, no, I wasn't preaching on it. I just mentioned like tithes and offerings. I mentioned 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I was dealing with the fact that the Bible says that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. By the way, that's true. Amen. That's true. But it turned into this big thing like, you preach tithing, and there's these guys this Roby guy, this Ronald Roby guy on Facebook. I blocked him a long time ago. It was ridiculous. But that guy, he just goes through and he finds all these preachers. Oh, that guy preaches tithing. Oh, that guy's preaching. Man, what are you so worried about it for? What another church does anyway? I know churches down through history that preach that. They weren't rich people. I mean, it's just, I know it's not accurate, and we don't preach it here because it's not right. I don't believe it's New Testament. But you know what? I think that people that are worried about that so much, there's something wrong with that. They're worried about, they preach about preachers preaching on tithing, but then they put up things on their Facebook or on their ministry posts about, please send us money so we can keep the electric on. Yeah, I mean, what is that like? What is that like a double standard or something? I'll pressure you and don't you to keep my lights on? Yeah, I think that's what it's called, is hypocrisy. Anyway, these issues are not heretical issues. If some guy preaches tithing, it's not heresy. It's wrong, but it's not heresy. You know, to demand a tithe is wrong. Okay, that's just, it's not biblical. I don't believe it is. You know? And if that would make somebody give less or not want to give at all, because, well, see, I don't have to. It's not the law, so I don't have to give. Then you're being a legalist and saying, well, I don't have to give, that's not the law, so I can do what I want. God loves a cheerful giver. We all ought to want to give to the Lord. That ought to be just our heart's desire. Amen? It shouldn't even be a question in our hearts about that. We should want to, not be forced to. If you feel like you're forced to, you got a bad heart. You know? Anyway. But it's foolishness. They go on and on. But welcome to the online virtual church, where motives are judged very harshly and proper order is not followed. Matthew 18 cannot be followed online. There's no church to tell it to. I've seen people try to destroy churches over all these issues. It's foolishness. But you know what? There's no day-to-day dealing with each other. So heretics get a pass on online. And good brethren who might be wrong in something are destroyed and misaligned and labeled heretics, right? Many times these good churches that might have some issues are basically destroyed by people who are not following God's order and being members of churches. They don't even understand and live by the first principles. If you don't understand eternal judgment, you shouldn't be teaching anybody. I mean, seriously, turn to Hebrews 5:12, please. This is just ridiculous. Why would you even be teaching anybody online anything of the Bible when you don't even believe eternal judgment? And by the way, get a King James Bible. That's why you don't believe the doctrines of the Scriptures. You're using the wrong Bible. That's right. You don't know the Scriptures. That's right. Hebrews 5:12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And eternal judgment in Hebrews chapter 6 is one of the first ones. All right, number 7, and we're done here. Danger number 7. I got to get you guys out of here. Wow, it's getting late. I feel bad for you guys. You have to work tomorrow. I'm done feeling bad. Okay. Danger number 7 is that people will be too satisfied with the online virtual church and not willing to look or move for a church. They become very satisfied with what they have online, and they won't sacrifice for the Lord. They won't do it. This is a grave danger that you believe you are satisfied or you are full with what you receive online, and that you stop praying for a church to assemble with and serve the Lord with, and you stop looking for one. It's a danger for people to say, well, I'll just listen online, and I'll go home, and I'll just stay home, and I'll just listen to preaching online. But that's not being a member of a local body. That's not supporting that church. That's not exercising your gifts in that body. God has a purpose. He saved you and he gave you gifts. And you are to use them for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's the local New Testament church. There is a danger of that online mentality, though. Listen, some will not be able to move. I understand that. Others will need to pray that Macedonian call will happen, and we'll have to go out and help those people, like we're doing in Texas, and by the way, possibly in Chicago. There's a young man that called me and contacted me months ago. Oh, he's been listening for a while, for a couple years, from the Netherlands. This is an interesting story. He's moving to Chicago. There's a brother in Christ that's a lawyer in Chicago. And he wants to come and visit this ministry, and he'd like to see a church planted in Chicago. Well, those two men are going to meet up, and they're going to meet here one day, Lord willing. Amen. And there's another guy there. Well, Brother Rupus is there too, and I know he'd be on board too to be a part of that church. Amen. Church plant too. So there's some men there. There's somebody else. Am I missing somebody else there? Oh, you did talk to, okay, good. There's another brother there. So there's some brethren there, and this young man has studied the scriptures for a long time. And he got all the way up to ordination, and they said, "We will not ordain you because you're post-trib." Not kidding. So then he started listening. He found Pastor Cooley in Old Paths Baptist Church online, and he says, "Well, I need to move to America then." And he felt the call of the Lord to move to America and to get proper authority. What's that? It is, isn't it? And to get proper authority, to get order. He said, "I'm not going to be a Lone Ranger. It's not going to be a Butch Cassidy." I got to stop doing that. It's too... Oh, by the way. Amen. That's right. So he's coming. He's trying to get here by July. So you pray for this guy. Listen, we don't want to bring just a problem. We want to give a solution. We want to show you, listen, we want to help these men start churches. These young men that are in this church, we want to train them up. We're not planning on keeping them forever. We're going to send them out by the grace of God to go out and start churches in all these areas because it's needed. It's needed. God didn't save you to sit at home and never grow and not to edify your brethren. No, he saved you to serve in his local church and to be a part of the solution, not the problem. And maybe God will have you move to be a part of one out there, you people that are out there. Maybe God will have one of you move to start one that will ordain you and send you out, and our church will reproduce one. Maybe it'll be one of you that God sends out to some of these people that contact us that have that Macedonian call, that call out and say, "Come over to this area." Amen. Right now, Brother Nate and I are making a list of the contacts we've made on Facebook and through there and everything else. And we want to see local New Testament churches started. We want to help these young men and older men. Amen. So we're putting together lists of families that are in some places, of possible preachers that are in other places, that are in their situations, and vet them and find out, like, what situation they're in, if it's possible for them to move, what they can do, or if we need to go to them and how we can train them and everything else. There's a lot of ideas that we have about that we plan on implementing by the grace of God. You know, maybe you're closer to Sam Morris and Marty Tate in Tennessee. Go there. Contact them. They're in Fayetteville. Fayetteville. They don't say it, they say Fayetteville. Amen? Or Sam Adams in Florida. Or there's Aaron Campbell's in Indiana. Or David Ickes in Monroe, Michigan. There's other men out there. These men have street preaching ministries as well. They preach the gospel. They go out and they preach. You know what? I don't know where you are, but if there's people out there that are on there, then maybe one of you will go somewhere. For those that cannot move, they better pray and seek God's face. But God wants them to be there. God wants that. Why do you think people are contacting us? Because they understand the truth. They understand they need to be in local New Testament churches. They understand they have to have proper authority. They need to be ordained and sent out. They don't want to be lone rangers. They want to be people that are sent out and for the gospel ministry and to do the work of God. And you know what? Those are the dangers that we see in these online ministries where people just set themselves up. They become comfortable, and they don't ever have to deal with people. You think God saved you to keep you and you're sitting in your living room and never do anything for him? Never interact, never share the gifts that God has given you when he saved your soul. He gave you spiritual gifts, which we're going to talk about sometime soon. But he gave you spiritual gifts, and everybody that's saved has at least one spiritual gift. And God has given you those gifts for it to be used for his glory in his church, for the edification of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's why he saved you. He didn't save you so you just sit alone and do nothing. He saved you to be used. You may not be a preacher, but you know what? You can move to a church and support a church. You can support a church that's doing right. You can help with that work. You may be a family out there, but you know what? You can contact somebody. You can get it and say, hey, listen, we have some families here. We need a preacher here. See, that just sounds odd. Shouldn't they be going through Bible college and all those other things? Well, let me tell you something. When you go back about 150 years ago, there was a few people in 1849 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota that were learning some Bible. They got saved. And this was a lady that presented the gospel to them. She was a teacher, and she presented the gospel to some lost Lutherans, and they got saved. She called and said, hey, we need a pastor here. We need a preacher here. Because I'm not a preacher. I'm just teaching these kids, you know, how to read and write. And I had an opportunity to share the gospel with these people. And now these men are meeting for a Bible study and things are happening. We need a preacher here. So they called and they sent for a preacher. And that preacher came there. And they organized those people into a church. And that's how the First Baptist Church started. And by the way, this church has a lineage back to that church. And that was in 1849. From church to church to church. That's how we're here. Right? I studied the history 2 years ago. I went up to the Minnesota Historical Society and I studied it, and that's what happened. Amen. But you know what it took? And by the way, when that guy came here, he didn't have a vehicle. He came on a horse, and he actually died on the way back. He was on a boat on the way back. And on the way back, I think he got mugged and killed on the way back. As they pulled up and the day that he was due back, they were dedicating a new meeting house. They pull up expecting, the preacher pulls up in a wagon expecting to dedicate that new building. And when they showed up, he was in a coffin. And he was dead. So, and I mean, these preachers would go out on horseback in snow this deep, I mean, just huge, and barely getting by, and they would preach and start little churches in all these little towns around here. Why can't it be done again? Why can't it be done again? It can be. But people got to see the importance that an online ministry is not a church. And they need a church right where they're at. So wake up and understand that. And we need to wake up and understand that it's not enough for us just to be online to minister to people. We need to help them start churches all over. If not us, then who? You think the Bible college is going to do it? They're taught to accept a certain salary to take over a church that's already there, to do all these other things. They got to go through 4 years of ramen noodles. Right. No. It's the Lord's churches that have the responsibility. Amen? And we need to take it. Amen. Father, Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the truth of all these things. Help us to live it, Lord. Help us to lay hold on these things, Lord, because they're so absolutely vitally important in these days. Help us to be able to find people out there, Lord. Bring them to us, Lord. Bring them through online, wherever you choose to, Lord. And Lord, let us find them and be able to gather these families together across the country, across the world even, Lord. I'm looking at even taking a trip to England next year possibly, Lord, for some people that are there. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that we could do the work that you've called us to do. And Lord, that you would empower us and bless us and use us, Father, and fill us with your Spirit. And Lord, help us to accomplish your will and your way, Lord. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Father, that you'd give us that power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.